Well, good morning, everybody. Whether you're watching online with us or whether you're here live in the room, it's great to have you here at Westwood. I would invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Where I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Version of the Bible. If you're new to Bible study, the book of Acts is in the back part of the Bible after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts. And we're going to go to chapter 5, and we're all going to stand to our feet. Let's just get some exercise. Come on. Get all warm in that cold weather out there. Come on, stand up. I'm going to read the scripture. We're standing in honor of God's word. As I read the scripture, I want you to picture this. I want you to see things. I want you to hear the crowds. I want you to smell the smells. This actually happened. Take it into your mind and your heart as I read this. Follow along with me. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Many signs and wonders were being done among the people through the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared to join them, but the people spoke well of them. Believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers, multitudes, both men and women. As a result, they were carry the sick into the streets and lay them on cots and mats so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow may fall on them. In addition, a multitude came together from the towns surrounding Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Let's pray. Before I pray, I'm going to encourage you to ask God to speak to you this morning. Now ask God to speak through me. Lord, it's humbling to stand here amongst these people and people watching online, but I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for your word. Thank you that it's alive and living and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. So will your word do that to us this morning? Will you speak loudly? Your people ask to be spoken to, so Holy Spirit, will you do that? For the believers watching and listening, and for those who don't know you, Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would bring conviction upon them and draw them to you in your through your great love. Lord, we come to you expectant to do a powerful work in this place. It's in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
The year is 33 AD. And God is moving in incredible ways in Jerusalem with this Jesus thing. And lives are radically changing. Culture is shifting. And you could just sense it's everywhere. I mean, you couldn't get away from it. Ananias and Sapphira had just died because they gave money to the apostles and to Peter, but they lied about the amount that they gave. And so there was kind of a fear and a humiliation. Just say, what just happened there too? Dr. Luke is the author of this book, the book of Acts. It's real important. He writes in sophisticated Greek. He was a very intelligent man. He was a physician. Very important to know as we read the story. He was a doctor. He writes over a 30-year period of historical events. These were true historical events. These were true places, true people who walked the earth. These things happen historically. He has a special heart for the Gentiles. And you'll read more about this as we walk through this a little bit. So let's dive into this passage as we learn about this story a little deeper. Get out your Westwood notes. Okay, get out your notes. Get out your Bibles, electronic copies, paper copies. Let's take some notes. Let's dig into these words a little bit, okay? Acts 5, verse 12. Many signs and wonders. Pen is not working here. There we go. Many signs and wonders were being done among the people through the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's colonnade. Let's talk about this a little bit. The word wonders, the first mention of this word here is in the book of Exodus chapter 3. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 20, the scripture says, God's is speaking, I will smite Egypt with my wonders. I will smite Egypt with my wonders. I will work supernaturally with my wonders. In the Greek, the word is this. You may want to write this in your notes. Teras. Teras. It's where we get our word teras, and that's very important. Teras, where we get our word, English word, teras. It means this, causing marvel, something strange. Causing marvel. So something strange was going on here, okay? The apostles. Who are the apostles? These are people who had physically seen Jesus. They were with him. They could touch him. And so understanding that also in the ancient world, this is very interesting. An apostle was an ambassador of a king with authority. Isn't that interesting? An ambassador of a king with authority. The apostles were Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, Judas, son of James. There were only 11 because Judas had gone. And the scripture says here, it says, they were all together. They were all together. And this is important too, that they were all together, because these individuals were sharing life deeply, sharing life deeply. This phrase is used 10 times in the book of Acts out of the 12 times in the whole book of the New Testament, the section of the New Testament, okay? These two Greek words are interesting. It means to rush along in unison. So as they're rushing along through life, they were unified. They were together. They were rushing along in unison. Many signs and wonders were done among the people through the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's colonnade. Who is Solomon? Solomon was David's son. He was a wealthy, wise individual. His name is translated peaceful. Write that down, peaceful. Peaceful, and that's very important. Now, what about this colonnade? Let's talk about this colonnade. I love the King James translation of this. It's porch, Solomon's porch. We'll get back to that word in a minute. Solomon's porch. This is an area on the east side of the second temple. This was also known, this is important too, as the court of the Gentiles. Remember that, the court of the Gentiles. Remember, Luke had a huge heart for the Gentile people. It was a place of commerce, conversation. It had room for thousands of people. Columns, marble columns spread out throughout this portico, this colonnade, this porch. It had a cedar covering over it to cover people for and from the elements. It was 40 feet wide, 1,000 feet long, and 100 feet high. It was massive. Listen to the crowds. See the people, the unique, diverse people interacting with one another, praying, laughing, interacting. Did you know that Jesus walked through this section of the temple? In John 10, verse 22 through 23, let's look at that verse. It says, then the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple of Solomon's colonnade. Solomon's colonnade, there it is, right there. Jesus walked in this place. He was there. It was during Hanukkah, during the Festival of Lights. This area, along with the temple, was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans, but this was a very popular gathering place for the early followers of God. Let's continue on back in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 13. It says this, no one else dared to join them. No one else dared to join them. Now, what does this mean? I mean, why wouldn't people want to join them? Why wouldn't people want to be gathered with them? What is this? The word join actually is translated kalao. It's a Greek word to fasten together, to glue. Why wouldn't people want to be fastened and glued together with these people? Because Jesus knew people's hearts. He knew people's agendas. The people that Luke was referring to here were the people, were the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders. Their hearts were not right. There were people like Ananias and Sapphira who had other agendas coming into this thing. They saw this movement. They wanted to be a part of it. Maybe they wanted to overthrow Rome. Jesus knows my heart. And that humbles me because I know my heart isn't right all the time. How about you? He knows your heart sitting here in this room right now. He reads it. We can fake people out really good, can't we? But he knows our hearts. The reason why these people didn't dare to join them, because they knew that they would have to join themselves, glue, kaleo, join together to a group of authentic people who are amidst of something supernatural. Let's go to verse 14. Verse 14, believers were added Let's go to verse 14. Believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers, multitudes of both men and women. Believers. Who are these believers? These were followers of Jesus. This word actually is translated to continually to believe. See, when you give your life to Jesus, it just doesn't stop there and you go to heaven and you just live your life like you used to before. When you continually believe, your life is continually being transformed, sanctified. These people's lives were so drastically changed that they didn't even know who they were anymore. People would look at them and say, "Who are you? I don't even know who you are anymore." They were continually believing because God was supernaturally expressing himself in this area. And it says the Lord was adding to the numbers increasingly. I mean, you see this increasing. This is powerful language too, because in Acts 2, 3,000 were added. 3,000 people. 3,000 people. And then in Acts 4, 5,000 people. Okay? That's 8,000 people. 8,000 people are filling this place. The voices, the tears, the joy. They were increasing, men and women. Verse 15. As a result, so what was the result of all this? They would carry the sick into the streets and lay them on cots and mats so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow may fall upon them. Their shadow. What is it about this shadow? In the ancient world, people were very superstitious and they believed that a good man's shadow falling upon someone or a group of people would bring good things. And an evil or a bad man's shadow falling on people would bring bad things and evil things. They're very superstitious. So maybe these were the outsiders going, "I'm not sure if I believe all this, but I'm just gonna at least throw this out there. Maybe Peter's shadow, I'm gonna get near the shadow." It's kind of like us in our world. Knock on wood, knock on steel, knock on something. I don't know what that does. Superstition. They were very superstitious. And maybe these people were curious and interested in this gospel. Verse 16, listen, it gets better. In addition, a multitude came together from the towns surrounding Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. This is very important because surrounding Jerusalem, this is the first reference of the gospel as being spread outside of Jerusalem. You know what that means? More than just Jews were hearing this. Gentiles were hearing it. Interesting. What is going on here? And then Dr. Luke, the physician, says this. They were bringing the sick, the physically sick. Here's a physically sick. And those who were tormented by unclean spirits. Unclean spirits. These were the spiritually sick. Physical sick, spiritual sick. He separated them. And what happened? They were all what?
Healed.
All of them. Because God was doing a supernatural work and it was freaking everybody out. Verse 16, it says all, not some. And it was in the midst of this temple. Do you remember in the Jewish tradition is, this is where God lived in the temple. But now all of a sudden the Holy Spirit lives in a bunch of temples. There are a bunch of tabernacles walking around. That's where God lived. God's presence was there. His very, very presence, his healing presence. Maybe you've been sick lately, physically. How about spiritually? Maybe you need the touch of God to heal you. Like he healed these people. See, it just doesn't happen back in the day and God doesn't do anything more in the future. He still moves. He still heals. He still does supernatural things in our lives. So what do these scriptures mean to us? It's great information, David. Thank you so much for the information. I learned some things. Now I can go home, eat some lunch. What does it mean to us? Let me share 4 points of application and then we'll be on our way. The first is this. People in Solomon's porch experience God's wonder. People in Solomon's porch experience God's wonder. I love what Jonathan Edwards once said. He said, "Only God is able to do the work of God." You ever try to do the work of God? You ever try to take God's place? Say, "God, I have this. I'm good. I can take care of this." Only God can do the work of God. And that's where wonder comes in. That's where we go, "I can't believe that just happened. I can't believe they just called me. I was standing there and I was thinking about, I was talking about him and he just called me." Been there this week on that one? I am in wonder at what God's doing in our world. Are you watching the television? Are you on your phones? Are you on the internet? Are you any college football fans out there? All right, a lot of college football fans out there. Regardless if your team made it or didn't, like us Auburn fans, we've been in misery for years. But I'm still loving this college football season. You know why I'm loving it? Not just because the games are great, something greater, something better. God's at work. God is showing his wonder. And God's followers are speaking boldly. You seeing that in the television? You seeing that in the thing? Now, here's some examples. Jamie Chadwell, he's the head coach of Liberty. He went to a bowl game, and on the sidelines, he wore a t-shirt, and it said, Jesus won. He lost the game, by the way. He lost the game. But in his interview, he's like, it doesn't matter, because there was a greater victory with Jesus, giving glory to Jesus. His wonder being proclaimed. Unbelievable. Spencer Danielson, the head coach of Boise State. A great story in Boise State. All his interviews, all throughout there, he'd always start his interviews with, I want to start and thank Jesus. We serve a champion who died on a cross and rose from the dead. Every interview. Matter of fact, the interview would put the microphone in his face and someone would be like, oh, here we go again. The Jesus thing. But God let him win and win and win and win. Greater platform, greater opportunity, greater wonder being shared with people. Riley Leonard, an Alabama product, right? Let him slip away. Riley Leonard, a quarterback for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish after he beat Georgia. He said this, first of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will Howard, the quarterback for Ohio State, as some of my friends, the Ohio State, right? He got the microphone in his face and it just fell out of his mouth. He didn't plan this. He didn't conjure this up. He didn't script it all out in his head. It just fell out of his mouth. It just like sweat popping out of him. He said this. Listen to what he said. He said, first and foremost, before I say anything else about the great play, the great throw, the great catch, he said, I want to thank Jesus for giving me this stage. He saw the football field as a stage to proclaim who? Notre Dame, Ohio State, Boise. No, Jesus. And I came to proclaim him. Isn't that amazing? God's wonder. Pray for these young men. Pray for these coaches. Psalm 105:1. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 105:1. Psalm 105:1. Listen what the psalmist says about proclaiming God's deeds. This is what these people did. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Proclaim his deeds among the people. Proclaim his deeds among the people. This is what the coaches and the athletes did. This is what the people at Solomon's porch, they did because they really believed in God's wonder. They really wanted it. They proclaimed it. They shared the wonder. They looked for the wonder. How about you? Are you looking for God's wonder in your life that you can't explain it away? You couldn't even put this together if you tried in a million years. And maybe you're just there right now because your world is totally falling apart. And maybe you're open for the first time for God's wonder. Aren't you tired of the wonder of the world? Come on, are you guys tired of the wonder of the world? It just leaves us more empty. Aren't you just bored of this wonder the world can give you? It just gets down to the depths of us saying there's something more. I don't care if you're a teenager. I don't care if you're a senior adult. That longing, that pulling, there's got to be something more. The wonder, the teras, the wonder. I have a great appetite for different podcasts, Christian and non-Christian and different things that I see on the internet. Bill Maher is a very interesting guy. If you know much about Bill Maher, he's an atheist, a very outspoken atheist. He's an interesting guy, but recently he's had different guests on his podcast, Club Random, and recently he had this Christian on there, and the Christian was sharing with him, this guy was like a famous celebrity, and he was talking about his conversion to Jesus, and he was still young in the faith. He was kind of stumbling through the whole thing, but Bill Maher was asking questions about his faith, kind of mocking him in some ways, but this guy was holding his ground, man. He was talking about God's wonder. And so Bill Maher looks at the guy and he says this. He says, since you believe in God, he kind of rolled his eyes, wouldn't it be great if he came down to us and speak to us through the clouds or French toast, mocking God there, and he could just straighten it all out. He could solve so much. And I'm looking at the podcast and I'm like, respond to that. Come on, that's like it's just setting the golf ball right there. It's such an easy tee right there. Jesus came down to us and he will return in the clouds. Amen? And he will straighten everything out through his wonder, through his supernatural power. Jesus did just that. Jesus walked among the people of Solomon's porch, and guess what? He can walk amongst you and I. He can be and share life with us. I love this shared wonder. I love our church. I love our heart for missions. We have our pastor currently down with David Johnson, who's the executive director of Dulas Ministries, and he's in Honduras. He's sending us pictures and all the things that God's doing. all week long. And then you have the Belize mission trip, a group of women going to Belize. My wife is down there. And by the way, men, when your wife goes out of town, are you a hot mess when your wife leaves out of town? I'm a hot mess. I can't wait tonight for her to come back, give her my puppy and give her everything else. I don't know what to do with anything, you know? She's down there in Belize. My wife is a physical therapist. She's working with special needs children who don't have therapists to help them walk. Could believe the pictures, flipping through the poverty. Like, we have so much. Our global missions conference is coming up in February. We have great opportunities to meet these missionaries. My daughter was a missionary in Jordan. I shared that with you. For 2 years, she was gone. Gone, like Rick was talking about. Overseas. We get a chance to love on these missionaries. To experience and share the wonder that the stories that they tell. Maybe it's for us to challenge us, to shake us out of our complacency. Shared wonder. People in Solomon's porch experience God's wonder. Secondly, though, people in Solomon's porch experience a spiritual covering. Write that down in your notes. A spiritual covering. A spiritual covering. You know, Rome destroyed the temple in 70 AD, and there was great destruction. And as you hear that, maybe you think about your life. Think about how your life has been or is being destroyed right now. Maybe there's someone in your life, maybe your daughter or your neighbor. And maybe your neighbor has a nice house and they go on the nice vacations, but their marriage is a wreck. And he's hiding stuff from his family that they don't know yet. You see, what happens in life is when we go through life and we try to cover our own lives and don't let God cover our lives, it becomes a mess and the storms actually break in and your life is built on sand and not a rock and it falls apart real fast. Look at the fires in LA. These houses just destroyed. All these things gone. They're just gone. A spiritual covering. Jesus provides us with this covering regardless of the storms of our life, regardless of the fires and the difficulties and all the things. And it's for us to embrace that and allow him to cover things, to invite him into our lives. Solomon's porch, this experience can be experienced by us, a place to cover us, our marriage, our spiritual walks, our insecurities. Anybody insecure about anything out there? Just walking in here this morning, maybe it's hard for some of you. He covers those things. Jesus wants to cover our past. Some of you can't get past your past. You can't. He wants to cover your past. He wants to cover your present, whatever you're walking through, and help you with your future, all the concerns that you have. Because many of you spend all day long watching Fox News and CNN, and you're just scared to death all the time. Jesus wants to cover all that. He wants to cover our fears with his love. I had a great lunch recently with a small group leader, and he leads a small group of young couples with young kids, and they actually have their small group meeting off campus in a restaurant. It's kind of cool. And so he was talking about his heart was to provide a covering for these couples and to share life together so they can provide a covering for their children. Because he was realizing, I need other couples in my life to learn from you because I can't do this by myself and I want to learn. And I just love this idea of we want to cover one another with prayer, cover one another with wisdom. Right? I just love that. They want to kala'o. They want to fasten and glue together with one another. They want to join with one another deeply beyond how's the weather and how's the game. A porch, when you hear about Solomon's porch, it's a welcome place. Who has a porch on their house, a front porch? Come on, you gotta love the front porch. It's where the rocking chairs are, right? It's where you welcome people in. It's where you get to know them kind of on a surface level. You pull them into your home. Solomon's porch was a place to pull people in to the gathering of believers, of Jesus followers. It's this place where you can come and be who you are. And I love this phrase. Your life doesn't have to be together to be together with others. Let me say that again. Your life doesn't have to be all together to be all together with others. Because you're gonna find out things of other people. Maybe they have similar struggles as you do, or different ones. When you gather in these little Solomon porch kind of groups, these groups that are filled with wonders and covering. When I was a freshman in college, I came down from the north and I was at Auburn. I was with three other track athletes, one guy from Florida. He had a sweet flowing mullet. He had a beautiful mullet, I got it. And then two guys from Alabama, cowboy boots, rednecks to the glory, big rednecks, and this Vermont guy. We were quite a group, you know. And so I was kind of lost. I didn't know what was going on. We had a knock on the door. Like, well, who's here? And, you know, these 18-year-olds, we just were clueless. This guy, he said, my name is Rick Stark, and I work with Athletes in Action. Are you guys new on the track team here? We're like, yeah, how'd you know? He said, well, I got your name from a friend, and I heard you lived here, and I just want to introduce myself to you. I said, okay. He went on to share with me what he did in his ministry and how he gave his life to athletes, pouring into them, helping them understand the opportunity they have to have a platform, a stage to reach out with Jesus, for Jesus. Our executive pastor, Rick Swing, served through basketball in that ministry. And he, that was his introduction to me. And from that point on, for 4 years, he poured into me. He covered me. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about anything. I was clueless. He loved me. He spoke truth in my life, even when it was hard truth. You know those people? And when you didn't want to hear it then, you look back, you're like, thank you, Lord, I broke up with that girl. You know what I'm talking about? Those guys. He loved me enough to speak into me, to give me a covering. That's what it's like when you share life deeply with people. You love people enough to speak directly into them because you care about them. I love what's going on in our church, and we have groups that meet on campus and off campus. And these places are places where you can ask questions. It's okay to ask questions. Matter of fact, when I stop asking questions, I know I'm in trouble. When I have it all figured out, you know I'm in big trouble. It's a place to wrestle with your faith, to receive accountability, to talk about your dark sin that you struggle with since you were a kid and nobody really knows about it. And you say, guess what? I just can't shake this thing, man. I opened the liquor cabinet and I just tried it for the first time, and I do it when nobody's looking, and I need to do something about this. It's killing me. It's a place of accountability. It's a place of confession. It's a place for non-Christians. Interesting word, non-Christians. People who don't believe in Jesus. And maybe you're watching online or you're here. You don't really want to follow that thing. You want to follow you. It's a place for you too, to be just as you are. We have men's groups, we have women's groups, we have couples groups, we have groups on and off campus, we have groups that meet in Panera Bread and all over the place. It's a lot of fun. We have a new group kicking off here called E531. It's for young couples who are just married, who are clueless. Remember when you were first married, all you old married people like me? You know, 33 years ago when I first was married, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. But I had some groups like that, and we have a group. E531, and they're gonna meet in the small group building on Sunday mornings if you're in that group, that age group right there. And by the way, we have groups online. You can go to our brochures out in the Welcome Center. But I also wanna highlight one group. Starting this Wednesday night, weather permitting, we will have a gathering in this room, and it's called Table Talk. And we'll have tables all spread out with chairs around these tables, people meeting in circles, sharing life. We're gonna take the sermon and we're gonna drill down deeper from the sermon, whoever's preaching that Sunday. And we're gonna ask questions and wrestle with our faith and pray with one another and get to know one another, to experience biblical community. Table Talk at 6:15 in this building every Wednesday night. If you're not in a small group, it may be a good step for you. A Solomon's Porch kind of group is a place to welcome all different kind of people, but more importantly, it's to welcome the presence of Jesus. See, there's a lot of book clubs and athletic clubs and we're the Jeep club and whatever the club is, but this is gathered around Jesus and his gospel. And it's coming to with great expectation of what he may do. All right, last point. People in Solomon's Porch experience a place of peace. A place of peace. Solomon, his name actually means peaceful. It means peaceful. Our world's pretty chaotic, isn't it? It's just so busy. We're going from one thing to the next. We're tired, we're exhausted, we're short with people, right? And there's not a lot of peace. What if you and I gathered in places, Solomon's Porch kind of experiences, where we shared life deeply with people and experienced a peace, a refuge from all that out there? And you and I were at a place where we're vulnerable and we're receiving and we're giving and we're changing like the first century church changed these individuals to a point where you can't even recognize yourself anymore. Solomon's Porch kind of groups is a place where we gather together and we share our wounds, our hurts, our past, our current. And it's a place for us to be together just like the early church did. I love going over to the small group building on a Sunday morning. We have 3 service hours and they have groups going on all Sunday, every Sunday. And I love to hear the laughter. I love to hear the scripture being read in prayers, when they're sharing food together. I even love when someone's off to the side crying with someone and someone's just putting his hand on his shoulder saying, "You're not alone, man. I'm here for you." I just love that, the rawness of authentic human relationships being shared together versus the fake shallow stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about? I guess you just get to a point where you just kind of get over that. Because it's just exactly really where I am right now. I love to see those individuals interacting with one another to get peace from their world. You know, Jesus, he referred himself as the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Like he is the ultimate source of peace. Listen to scripture in John 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. We'll put that on the screen. Scripture says this, "I have told you these things." I have told you these things. What things? He was speaking to his guys. He's getting ready to leave them. He's been with them for 3 years. He said, I'm getting ready to leave this earth. And I have some things I want to share with you. And it's important for you to know. And he's going to share these things. He says, I have told you these things so that in me, everybody say me. In me, you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. See, many times people in life search for peace. They're searching for peace, but they're finding it in different ways. They're trying to find it in wrong ways. They're looking for peace in a relationship. If I just get married, if I could just get out of this marriage, if I get retired, once I get retired, then I'll have peace. If I just get a raise, if I just get that salary, I will have so much peace. I mean, right? If I just go on that vacation, June isn't close enough. I just need to get to June. And once I get in that vacation, then I'm gonna have peace. But you know what happens? Vacation's done. You get home, right? If I can just have a new hobby, maybe if I just golf more, or I do some kind of activity, or I just need to be entertained more. I need to laugh more or get lost in something. I just need to escape. I just need to get away. I just need to find myself. Then I'll have peace. But we never do. And there's an emptiness to that peace without Jesus. Jesus says, I am the Prince of Peace. You want peace? You come to me. I'm the Prince of it. I wear the crown. I'm the Prince of Peace. It's the greatest peace. It's finding your identity in him. It's in the gospel of Jesus. You find love and hope and forgiveness and life. And this is the gospel. It's that you and I are imperfect. The Bible says we have sin in our members and we're born into that. And so God is perfect and we're separated from God. But this is what God did. He did something pretty amazing. God left eternity. Can you imagine leaving perfection and coming into time? And he put on a human body, an earth suit, and he walked around as the incarnate God. He lived a perfect life and he ministered and then he died and he rose again so that we can have eternal peace. We can move from trusting ourselves and our work to trusting Jesus and the work that he's done on the cross so that we can be reborn. We can be changed. We can have a peace that passes all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. He calls us to this peaceful gospel, but it requires us to repent of our sins and to believe that gospel and follow him. And that's the hope that we have in the gospel. Have you done that? Have you asked Jesus to come into your life to give you the peace you've looked for and longed for so very long? Only he can give you that in a way that this world cannot give you that. The impact point of the morning is this. The impact point of the morning is this. The gospel of Jesus can be experienced deeply in intentional biblical community. The gospel of Jesus can be experienced deeply. How? Not just by yourself, sitting in your house, watching a sermon online, but with people just like you or different from you. And sometimes you can't even believe you're gonna be friends with a person like this because they're so different from you. But you get deep with people and they're changed and you're changed because of the intentionality of how you're spending your life and how you're spending your time. My heart for Westwood Baptist Church is that we would be smaller communities of Solomon's porches, sharing life deeply, raw, authentic, beautiful relationships, So there's change and there's wonder and there's covering. And our lives will never be the same. As we conclude our time, I'm gonna step out of the way. And I want you to picture yourself sitting in this room all by yourself. And I want to give you a time to reflect. It's so easy just to say amen and jump out of the room. I'm gonna have you settle in your chair, put everything down in your hands. And I want you to put your eyes up on the screen. And Lord, I just don't want to leave this room not going back to that text. I can't imagine what it must have been like being there, seeing all the miracles and the wonder. But God, I just don't want to shut the book and leave it there. I would ask, God, that you would do that in this church through our group's ministries and all our ministries. I pray that the things that you put on our hearts in this place, that we would have the courage to obey them and follow them, whether it's to get into a group, to come to table talk, to go on a mission trip, all with the purpose of experiencing your wonder, your covering, and your peace. God, will you do the supernatural in this place? That we would come back week after week telling the stories of how amazing you are and your great marvel. I even look forward to hearing the stories of those who've gone before us and maybe talking to those in the porch, in the colonnade, in eternity one day, hearing the stories. But we don't want it to end there. We want it in our world. I pray for Bill Maher's salvation in Jesus' name. Please help him to be a Saul to Paul. Please, God, put someone on his path and more people and more people. Father, I pray that you would guide and direct us as we walk through our day and our week. Keep our eyes open, our ears open to what you want to do in our lives. We're going to celebrate you and who you are. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thanks so much. Can we just thank God for this morning, what he did this morning? Yeah, all right. Not too often you hear somebody praying for Bill Maher, right? On Sunday morning. Can you pray for him? You raise your hand, pray for him. Come on, let's pray for that guy. Before we go, I just want to let you know, a friend of mine, Wade Ward, who's one of our small group leaders, is going to be back at a table in the lobby. And it's a little kiosk where you can sign up for groups. Just put your name and your email address down there if you want to get in a group. You may not be sure about what group to get into, but my buddy will be there back there for you, and he'll help you navigate that. And we'll get back to you. Also, if something happened in this room this morning, and maybe you made a decision for Christ for the first time, or you just need somebody to talk to or pray with you, there's some amazing leaders over here, and they're here in the Next Steps rooms. If you want someone to engage and just share your heart over there, they're there. Also, if you want to continue worship, we have offering boxes all around the building. You can put an offering in there, a financial offering. Also, you can give online. And we don't do this enough, but thank you for giving. We had an amazing 2024, and just because of your faithfulness financially, we're so thankful for those who you give. And actually, I'm excited for some of you who are going to start to give in 2025 for the first time. God's going to start stretching you, and you can do some really good things in your life, great things in your life through it. Before we go, remember our pastor and our mission teams as they're out and about literally all over the world. And remember us, we're missionaries. And you know what we say before we leave the service? Right? We're going to go out in that big old bad world out there with snowflakes and everything flying around, right? We're going to get out there with the gospel of Jesus, sharing his wonder because it's worth it. All right? So Westwood, we are set. You guys go.